Luke chapter 6, verse 21a and verse 25a. This is the reading of God's word. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear your voice through your word, so that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us, so that we may live by faith. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for this wonderful time. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in his book, Luke is showing us what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing and what he is accomplishing. And because of what he is doing and accomplishing, then what is our eternal reality? Because that is what he is accomplishing. Through his works and his teachings, the reality of the kingdom of God is being witnessed. I say many times, but we must remember that coming of the kingdom of God is also the end of this world. So not only you see the beginning of the eternal world, you have to see the end of this world. And that's what Jesus Christ is teaching through this sermon on the plain. The world is turned upside down. The reality of heaven is witnessed in this world, and it is always the opposite of this world. As we have seen last Lord's Day, the blessed are the poor. It is because our heavenly reality is not visibly consummated yet. Thus, the blessedness of being poor in this world is not something that this world could understand or even desire. Only by faith one is able to see the blessedness of being poor in this world. The citizens of heaven must believe and by their faith witness their heavenly reality. Through the Sermon on the Plain, our Lord teaches what is true of us, the citizens of heaven. So chapter 6, verse 25a, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Just as what we saw last week, when Jesus says that the blessed are you who hunger now. Just as what we saw last week, when Jesus says that the blessed are you who hunger now, he's not just talking about physical hunger. Do you remember the poor must also be the poor in spirit? So here, those who hunger must also hunger for righteousness. Matthew says the same thing this way, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The true Christians are the poor in spirit, and they hunger and they thirst for righteousness. But the Bible is telling us that way more often than not, the true Christians are also poor and hungry in this world. Not just poor in spirit, not just hungry for righteousness, but actually poor and hungry in this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. See, if you are rich in this world, then you would not be weak or despised. So generally, Christians are poor and hungry. And according to what we will deal with in next two sermons, blessed are you who weep now, and blessed are you when men hate you. The Bible is so clear. These are the blessed ones. Completely opposite of what the world might say. God taught his people this truth even in the Old Testament, but of course only in Jesus Christ it is so clearly revealed. Now think about this, being hungry and thirsty for righteousness. In order for you to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you must realize that you are lacking righteousness. Because if you think you're righteous, why would you be hungry for righteousness? And only through the work of the Holy Spirit, one will realize it. Hunger and thirst. They happen because one does not have. Hunger and thirst, they are man's most urgent, strong, critical, essential desire and craving. And to those who are hungry and thirsty, taking care of that hunger and thirst are the most important things in their lives. Why? Because if not taken care of, they will die. Being hungry and being thirsty is life and death matter. To those who hunger and thirst, taking care of their hunger and thirst are the central purpose in their lives. If you're truly hungry and thirsty, that will be your purpose, to take care of that hunger and thirst. Yeah, just don't drink anything, don't eat anything for about 3-4 days, and I will see you just focus on getting food and water. I guarantee it. So if you're truly hungry and thirst for righteousness, that's to attain that righteousness will be your purpose. It's when you are not hungry and thirsty. For righteousness. It's just, you cannot hide these kind of things. These people who are hungry and thirsty, they will use all of their energy and time and effort to take care of their hunger and thirst. You know, let us imagine a person who was lost in a desert for many days without food and water. And he was found. Even if you build him a very nice house and give him a nice car and tell him to stay in the desert, if you do not give him food and water, a nice house and nice car would not really matter to him. He will die, even with a good house and good car. But the problem that Bible shows us is that the sinners do not know that they are lacking righteousness. And that without that righteousness, they will die forever. They just don't know it. They do not know that they are supposed to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. How about you? Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, for what are we hungry and thirsty for? As Christians, it is not the wealth of the world. It is righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Thus, one who is truly hungry and thirsty for righteousness will live his life focused on possessing that righteousness. He knows that not possessing that righteousness means the eternal death. Thus, he urgently, earnestly seeks it. He knows that without the righteousness, it really does not matter even if he possessed the whole world. Even with the whole world, he will end up in hell forever. Thus, the one who are truly hungry and thirsty for righteousness has his focus on it. He is not interested in anything else. Just like that person who's lost in the desert. He's not interested in anything else except food and drink. He cannot afford to be interested in anything else. Thus, he will do all things and say all things and think all things in terms of possessing that righteousness. The Bible is very clear. Only Jesus Christ has accomplished this righteousness. Only he is able to give us righteousness. Thus, being hungry and thirsty for righteousness is the same thing as being hungry and thirsty for Jesus Christ. It is longing for Jesus Christ. Wanting righteousness is wanting Jesus Christ. There are many psalms that show how God's people, they were hungry and thirsty for our God. When Jesus says, "Blessed are you who hunger," he means this kind of people. They are seeking Jesus Christ, the only one who is able to satisfy that hunger. Psalm 63 verse 1, "O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Psalm 42 verse 1, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Psalm 27 verse 4, "One thing that I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." Psalm 73 verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you I desire nothing on earth." These are the confession of Christians. These who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, they do not have their eyes focused on this world. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, "But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." But Christians live exactly opposite of what God has said. Christians are all worrying about tomorrow. These people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, they seek righteous life. They desire that the righteousness that Jesus Christ has given to them will be witnessed through their lives. They believe that they have been recreated in the image of their Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. They want to live by faith. And they long for that day when Jesus Christ comes back, when their righteousness will be visibly consummated. In fact, to hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for heaven. Why? Because only in heaven we will be able to live a perfect righteous life. And I want you to really realize this. Being hungry and thirst for righteousness is being hungry and thirst for Jesus Christ, and that is being hungry and thirst for heaven. You cannot just have one and not the other. This is what our life is all about. And in case you don't realize it, I'm here to proclaim what God says to you. I don't know, maybe as you live your life out there that you forget that you're supposed to be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness. So you forget, so you are thirsty and hungry for this world and the wealth of this world. And your life shows it. But Christians are not described like that in the Bible. And it's not what you think. It's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says Christians are a certain way, then you need to fit that description. And we are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Meaning we are hungry and thirsty for Jesus Christ. Which means we are hungry and thirsty for heaven. And the righteous life is the life that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. Being righteous means that we have perfectly obeyed God. And that is what our Lord has done and accomplished, and that for us. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." It is the same as saying that He hungers and thirsts for obeying the Father perfectly. And He lived the perfect obedient life, and that for us. Thus, when we are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, we are actually participating in Jesus' life. And He gave all of Himself to us who are hungry. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Our hunger and our thirst, only Jesus Christ is able to satisfy. He said, "For you shall be satisfied." It is a future tense. Thus, Jesus promises the satisfaction in heaven. And to us who are hungry and thirsty, Jesus is the true food and the true drink. John chapter 6, verse 55 and 56, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Jesus came to satisfy our hunger forever. Even today, He's feeding you. He's feeding you with Himself, His Word. And you and I, we are satisfied. This is our heavenly reality. Complete and perfect satisfaction. Spiritually, it is already accomplished. And it will be visibly consummated when Jesus Christ comes back. Oh, brothers and sisters in heaven who will be perfectly satisfied. And spiritually, that reality is already accomplished for us. You must believe. You might tell me, I don't feel like I'm satisfied. Well, I didn't ask you to, you know, how you feel. I ask you to believe. Because God says that that is the truth. You must believe. This is why, you know, the world will tell us Christianity is a what do you call it? The brainwashing. Believe, we tell you. See, God has designed even Christianity. He designed in a way that the world just cannot accept. That's why God has to give you faith. See, this complete satisfaction, it is promised by our God even from the Old Testament. Isaiah 49 verse 10, they will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down, for he who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. Isaiah 65 verse 13, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, my servant will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servant will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. That satisfaction is described in the Old Testament as the heavenly banquet of God. Isaiah 25 verse 6, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of marrow, and refined aged wine. And Jesus Christ is fulfilling that promise. Psalm 107 verse 9, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Psalm 117 verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Revelation 7 verse 15 to the 17, for this reason, they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore. Nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Spiritually speaking, this is already accomplished. God has wiped away every tear from our faces. And even as you cry because you're sad in this life, you must believe that Jesus Christ has wiped every tear from your face. That is your reality, spiritual reality. That is what is true of you, and you must believe. The whole world has been turned upside down, brothers and sisters. You cannot live according to the world anymore. Thus, The era in which the true Christians cannot know and understand anything according to the standard of this world has come. The blessed are the poor and the hungry. They will be perfectly satisfied in heaven. And notice that being blessed or not is no longer expressed in terms of the law. It is expressed in terms of Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy 28, meaning Old Testament, the blessings of God are in terms of obeying the law or not. But now, it is whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. Of course, if you are a true believer, then your desire is to obey God. But you will never be able to find that perfect satisfaction in this world. You know, you might say to yourself, if I have a certain amount of money, I'll be satisfied. That's what you think. Look at the rich people out there. They're not satisfied. Who is satisfied? They're still working. Even with all that money, they're still working. You might tell yourself, oh, if I have certain amount of money, I will stop working and I will just enjoy. But see, that's what you think. There's no satisfaction in this world. You will find that satisfaction only in Jesus Christ. Actually, Jesus Christ Himself is the perfect satisfaction. So it's all about whether you possess Him or not. That determines whether you have that satisfaction or not. We must see our heavenly reality, the reality in which the whole world is turned upside down through what Jesus teaches us in our passage. The blessed are the poor and the hungry. Do you believe this? Do you really believe that the blessed are the poor and the hungry? Well, you have to wrestle with this because this is what the Bible tells you. But no matter how many times you read, it just, you don't feel it. It doesn't ring true. Well, you have a problem then. Is God's word true or not? What makes us Christian? If we don't believe what the Bible says. But if you start talking like this out there, they're going to think you're crazy. Don't you think it's too cold? It's okay? Now, Jesus gives a warning to the rich. Chapter 6, verse 24, which we saw last time, the woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. He also gives a warning to the well-fed in this world. Luke chapter 6, verse 25, woe to you who are well-fed now, for you shall be hungry. James chapter 5, verse 1, 4b and 5, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. Graphic. You have lived a luxurious life. And he compares that with, You have fattened your heart in a day of slaughter. There's a pig. And we're going to slaughter this pig, but until that slaughter day, we feed him. So that he will get big and big and bigger. So we could slaughter him. That's what God says about riches of this world. It's like God feeding that pig so that he could become big, big for that slaughter day. How can non-Christian hear the word of God and be happy joining Christians in rejoicing? They can't. Unless you say the wrong things, unless you change the message. This is not for the world. They will never accept it. Brothers and sisters, the amazing blessings of God has been poured out to us who are the sinners. If left alone, then you and I will be hungry and thirsty for the wealth of this world and will be destroyed with it. But God did not leave us alone. He saved us from sin and from this world so that we may now hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ and His kingdom and His righteousness. Let us look at Matthew verse that explains our verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Thank God it does not say, blessed are those who are righteous. If that's what God says, then there's no hope for you and me. God did not say, blessed are those who are righteous. No, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it is the work through the work of the Holy Spirit that we have become hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Yes, this hunger and this thirst, because of our lack of faith, is not perfect at this time. But we do want to obey God. We do want to live that righteous life. It might be a very small desire in your heart, but even that small desire to live that righteous life, it is God-given. You cannot generate it yourself. So search your heart and find that desire to live that righteous life in Christ and be glad, be happy. For God has saved you. Brothers and sisters, we must believe and we must live by faith. See, the Bible describes hell in many passages in the book of Revelation. It is a place there is absolutely no satisfaction. Can you picture that you are so hungry and you are so thirsty? And you just cannot think anything else because you're so hungry and thirsty, but forever and ever, that desire will never be satisfied. That's hell. I want to give you a little time to think about that. That's one aspect of hell. Of course, there are much more than that. There's always torment, pain. The eternal hunger and thirst. That is hell. To those who are well fed in this world, a warning of the eternal hunger and thirst is given. Do you see it? All will be turned upside down. And it is already turned upside down. Hungry will be satisfied. And well fed, they will be hungry. And you're trying to use your brain to have both. But God said you cannot serve two masters. Not God and the wealth of this world same time. You can't do that. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God wants you to have heaven. Be satisfied in Jesus Christ. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? A rich man was truly well fed, and Lazarus was always poor and hungry. They both die, and the rich man goes to hell, and Lazarus goes to heaven. Luke chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. And he cried out and said, the rich man, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Do you see it? Everything is turned upside down. So don't be so happy that you are up in this world, because you might be down in the other world. Why does God design it this way? So that we may seek the righteousness, that we may seek God. Brothers and sisters, you cannot serve two masters. Do you see how things are turned upside down from these examples? But this reality is already accomplished for us. It is already turned upside down for us. That's why even though I'm down, I don't feel sad. No, even when I'm down, I live as up, because that is my eternal heavenly reality that I already possess in Christ. We must see this reality through God's Word. We must see the reality of the kingdom of God. We must believe and we must live by faith. And I'll end with this. You and I who are in Christ, we are the poor in spirit, and we hunger and we thirst for righteousness. Believe. We need to believe. See, this is why it sounds so dumb. Believe. But that's exactly what is needed. We are hungry and thirsty for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And we are poor and we are hungry in this world, which means we are the blessed ones. Now, every knowledge and wisdom that is in you just denies this naturally, right? How can I believe that poor is the blessed one? How can I believe the hungry is the blessed one? That's why it's the work of God. Even though the world just cannot believe this, we believe. You know, it's like this. You know, I was talking to someone who is on his, you know, deathbed, because I was visiting him because he was dying. And you talk about believing Jesus Christ. Of course, you know, he's going to die soon. And he literally said, I want to believe, but I can't. He really wants to believe, he says, but he can't. Just like it. I say to everybody, sometimes when I'm tempted with the wealth of this world, sometimes I want not to believe, but I can't. Sometimes I want to compromise the world and not believe, but I can't because God makes me believe. Do you understand this? That is why when the Bible says the blessed are the poor, I believe. Blessed are the hungry, I believe. And I realize it is true because even though I don't have much in this world, I'm satisfied. And even when God will take some of the things I have already away, I will still be satisfied. And I truly believe not being satisfied is sin. Because you have complained against what God is doing in your life. Please, brothers and sisters, be happy. Especially when you come into the church and look at the brothers and sisters. You miss them. And be happy. And just give everybody a hug or something and show how you have missed them so much. It's so good to see your brothers and sisters. That's just how we are. That's the kind of people that God has made us in Jesus Christ. We are the ones who possess the perfect satisfaction. Why? Because we possess Jesus Christ and His kingdom, even now. So when I look at the people who come to our church, I truly see no one who is rich in this world. Oh, if you think you're rich, think again. You're not rich. That is why I see blessed ones in Christ. You are all blessed. That's what the Bible says. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. How you have chosen us in this world. You have chosen us who are not rich, who are not successful, as the world says it. But Father, you have chosen us who is despised in this world, who is low, and yet you have exalted us in Jesus Christ. that our God is our Father, and we are your sons. And thanks to what our Lord has done and accomplished for us, that eternally we are successful, that we are rich in heaven forever. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.